with his guest star, Bing Crosby.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Bob, American Legion Convention Hope, telling all you Legionnaires, as you wrestle with the world's blunders and bobbles, remember there's nothing like Pepsodent to halt those lower plate wobbles. Well, here I am at the World American Legion Convention. Yes, sir, I passed the physical. And I came in with the first Red Cross unit. American Legion Convention. That's a group of men taking a few days off for life, happiness, and liberty of pursuit. Of course, there are some married men here, too. Yes, sir, but it's a great time, and I won't say these Legionnaires are flying, but it's the first time I ever saw a San Francisco cop directing traffic from the top of the mark. And when 12 o'clock came last night, San Francisco couldn't roll up the sidewalks. The Legionnaires wouldn't tell them where they were. But they're having a great time, and what crowds. I walked out in the street for a cigar, and the next thing I knew, I was third flute in the Austin, Texas Fife and Drum Corps. And the streets are so crowded, the pedestrians are forcing the cars right off the sidewalks. You want to go somewhere, you just step out on the sidewalk and hope the guy under you is going the same place you are. But I'm having a wonderful time. Besides, I can walk just as well with both hips on the same side. I think I was from Pinocchio's or something. That's not in here. Oh, no, 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 please. That's not in here. I made that up on the spur of the writer. And the traffic in the streets is really jammed and squeezed together. A Cadillac went down Market Street today, and by the time it got to Gary, it was a tandem, and the chauffeur was pedaling. And I don't know if the pickpockets are doing a great business or not, but I turned to one guy and said, "Are you trying to lift my wallet?" And he said, "Don't be silly. When they're light enough to lift, I don't bother with them." So crowded in the hotels, I saw Whistler's mother walking down Market Street. She's running out of a rocking chair for $5 an hour. And the hotels don't say room and bath. They just ask, with or without plasma? I had plenty of trouble getting a room, and I told the clerk I didn't have any place to go, but he contradicted me. But I want to tell you, it's a great convention, and Mayor Lapham made a fine speech to the Legionnaires that echoed the sentiments of everyone in the city. He said, "Put it back." Thank you very much. It was very kind. How about we go, huh? Hello?
Is that you, Kilroy?
Kilroy?
Yeah, say, do me a favor, will you? I'm asking all my friends to be at the Marine Memorial Club tonight and throw rotten tomatoes at Bob Hope. But have a swell time.
Colonna, this and is Bob Hope you're talking to.
Oops. Care to hear the juicier portions of my resignation?
Colonna, tell me, why are your idiosyncrasies multiplying so rapidly?
They're feeding and weeding.
And why aren't you here for the show tonight?
Well, can't hope. I'm having a ball. I'm out with some Legionnaires. We're playing Ring Around the Rosie.
Professor, don't be silly. Legionnaires wouldn't play a childish game like Ring Around the Rosie.
You don't know Rosie, do you?
Oh, lovely man.
You know, Professor, there's a certain gentleman on this program who has spent a lot of his time in the booby hatch. Do I ring a bell?
No, walk right in. I'll wait up for you.
Well, Colonna, come on over here right away.
Mayor Hope, I'm having too much fun here. I'm in the Palace Hotel elevator with a bunch of Legionnaires. We're taking turns driving up and down.
Up and down? That's no fun.
Up and down Market Street?
Well, Colonna, stop wasting your time. You're supposed to be here running the exhibit on post-war invention.
I worked hard today, Hope. I just saw one of the new cars, the latest thing in streamlining. No buffers, no fenders, no doors, no...
Professor, if the car has no doors, how can anyone get into it?
Nobody knows yet. They're all waiting to see how the inventor gets out.
Colonna, you're mad. Why don't you invent something practical?
I have, Hope. Here's my crowning invention, an atomic dandruff remover.
Atomic dandruff remover? Colonna, you don't know anything about atomic power. It's dangerous. Leave it alone.
No, not Hope. I'm a world-famous expert. Uranium Colonna, they call me. Uranium Colonna. I'll sprinkle a few drops in my hair. Uranium now has no cranium.
I'm in the mood for love.
Who cares?
Go away.
What for?
Your
spot.
Girl, folks, don't be like Miriam. Uranium.
See how Pepsodent uncovers the natural brilliance of your smile.
Dear Miriam, sweet Miriam, neglected using Miriam. So it's singing style and no wearing smile.
I'm in the mood for love.
Oh, boy.
That's great.
You're half a face. So, folks, just be like Miriam. You
Cinderella girl from St. Paul, ladies and gentlemen. Lovely Carol Richards singing.
I don't know why I love you like I do. I don't know why I just do. I don't know why you thrill me like you do. I don't know why. You never seem to want my romance. The only time you hold me is when we're dancing. I don't know why I love you like I do.
For a fine assist. Ladies and gentlemen, on this show, we always like to give newcomers a chance when we can. And we also have a soft spot in our hearts for old-timers. People who've had their day, but who sometimes try and make a comeback. So now, I'd like to present that famous singing star of yesteryear, Harry Lillis Crosby, right here.
Nice way to introduce an old pal. Fine thing. Me, who merely kept you alive in radio, lo, these 9 long years.
You kept me alive in radio?
But of course. Didn't I furnish the cheese with which they ate the crackers that got in their teeth for your 50 cups to whisk away?
Well, anyway, Helium Hips, we're happy to have you. We're happy to have you here tonight because you really have one of the finest voices this country has ever known. You're a grand guy, a great sportsman. A swell There must be an easier way to get a Philco radio.
Nice subtle hint. It's subtle for you. I'll see if I can get them to give you a set.
Oh, that'd be nice if you could get one to match the motif of my living room.
Oh, I can't handle that, old man. They are good sets. They don't build them into orange crates.
You know, it still isn't too late to replace you with a crack transcription, you know. But I hear you're returning to the air for the Philco people soon, aren't you, Lard?
Yes, Chiselton. I'll tell you something, though. Strict confidence. They drove a very hard bargain.
Yes, I hear that you only got half of the president's blood.
Well, they figure I should be able to sell a lot of radios.
Your phonograph records already have.
Back off, spout snout. You're creating a headwind and it's blowing all the kernels in my face. Cut it out. Back off. Pause.
Say, your new show for Philco is scheduled for October the 16th, isn't it?
9 p.m. every Wednesday, Dad.
Oh, well, let's not go too far. Wait a minute. On the other wire, I
yes.
mean. Thank you.
Going to be some upper-level etherizing, old boy. High class stuff. All music nice.
Read this line whenever you can feel like it. Will you please?
This line. This script must have been written underwater.
Come on.
I don't see it.
You're going to pull your glasses
out
sooner or later. You're
in for some strong competition. Is that what you want?
Yeah, anything.
All right.
Yes, don't get flighty, anything. Pudgy.
Pudgy? You got all that stuff with you to say pudgy.
You'll be just another tube salesman.
Could be, but I won't sell them door to door like you.
Wait till you read the small print in your contract. Say, you've been away quite a while. Where have you been keeping yourself?
The secret. In hiding.
Hiding? Mm-hmm. When did they start making mountains that wide?
Get this, boy. If you're alluding to my physical deficiencies, old man, it would be wise to remember that people in glass shoulder pads shouldn't throw stones. Take the hanger out of your coat.
You should talk with that egg-stained shroud you're wearing.
You're that wonderful writer,
sir. Oh, I love that. Salvador Dali's going to hate you. You know that. Tell me, what have you been doing with yourself,
Dave? I just finished a slight smash, a little film called The Emperor's Waltz.
The Emperor's Waltz? You mean you dance?
Well, it was Crosby and Yolanda for years, you know. Of course I danced. And what a scene.
Yeah, what a scene. Holding the lady with one hand and a Texaco lubrication chart with the other. I suppose you play the Emperor, you stockholder.
No. I play an American traveling salesman back around 1900.
Really, and isn't it nice they could get an actor who remembers the period?
You're going to kid about 1900, huh? You were ducking vegetables as a profession at that time yourself.
You're kidding. In 1900, I wasn't even born yet.
That's entirely possible, because I understand the stork circled you for 4 years trying to figure out how to get a grip on you. No doubt you've heard that my leading lady in The Emperor's Waltz is none other than the beautiful, talented, inspiring actress, Joan Fontaine.
Yeah, what a cast. Blunt and Fontaine.
All I have. I don't see Dorothy Lamour shouting for joy.
What do you mean? I'm a great leading man.
The only time you're leading is when it's payday at Paramount.
I know the shortcuts.
Just your excuse for going through the girls' dressing room.
You're just mad because I got a peek at your bloomers. You know, I just finished a picture, too. It's called My Favorite Brunette.
My Favorite Brunette?
Yep.
Your life story, huh?
He can't just grow old gracefully. He's got to get mean, too. Boy, but what love scenes I did. Whenever I kissed Dorothy Lamour, she just stood there speechless.
Well, naturally. It took her a while to get the knots out of her pucker.
Yeah, I got to quit using that lumpy alum, yes.
Speaking of love... Speaking...
Speaking of love scenes,
speaking of love scenes, did you get a load of my kisses with Joan Fontaine? Have you ever seen lips operate like that?
Not since the last time I gave Lassie a sticky tootsie roll.
Oh, you and Lassie are still sharing dressing rooms. I don't know. You know, Robin, I'm really surprised that Dottie Lamour still makes pictures with you. The way you handle her in those so-called romantic interlude.
What do you mean? My love scenes are very tender.
Tender, yes. All I know is every time you get ready to shoot a kissing scene, the director hollers, "Light, camera, muzzle!"
Thank you. Can I help it if she's my favorite kind of red heart? I can.
I'll see you in the library. Despite years of faithful brushing, despite any other toothpaste you've tried, see if your teeth...
For me, there's you. If a flame is to grow, there must be a glow to open each door. There's a key. I need you, I know. I can't let you go. Your touch means too much to me. Your lips must insist on two more to be kissed, or they'll never know what love can do. To each his own, I've found my own.
That was the father of our country singing to each his groan. And now, dear customers,
well, Miss Vera Vague, look at that.
Hello. Well, how are you, Miss Vague?
Well, Mr. Hope, I'm really flying tonight.
Yeah. Well, you've landed now. Turn off your ignition.
You dear boy.
Ideas that come out of your head are good and fresh. They're so vacuum packed. Steady now.
How do you like San Francisco, Miss Vague? Oh, I'm just thrilled to be here, Mr. Help. It's a wonderful city. And all those handsome legionnaires running around the street loose.
Oh, they're not loose, Miss Vague. They just walk that way.
You know something? I'm here for the convention, Mr. Hope. You know I belong to the Women's Auxiliary of the American Legiondom.
Really? I didn't know they took veterans of the Civil War.
Well, they don't usually, Mr. Hope, but why don't you try anyway?
Really? So you're attending the Women's Auxiliary here, the Legion,
yes,
huh?
Yes, I am indeed. I think it's time for women to sit in their proper place in this world.
Well, what if the men stage an uprising?
They won't be able to rise. Where do you think the women are sitting?
Well, Miss Vague, all the legionnaires here are men. There must be 20,000 here. I think you'd feel out of place like a fish out of water.
I'm a happy little haddock, aren't I? You know, Mr. I don't mind the legionnaires having fun, but why do they have to tease me on the street?
Well, you know, Miss Vague, the boys like a little horseplay.
Call you a big jerk. No offense. You know, I don't care. The legionnaires are simply wonderful.
They are.
I just love those boys. They look so tall and straight in their uniforms. I was out last night with a cute one in a white uniform.
White uniform is vague. It isn't the legionnaires who wear the white uniform.
Well, I don't know about those things, but he sure swept me off my feet.
Oh, that's fine. Well, wait a minute. I want you to meet Mr. Crosby, someone more your age. Or B.C. Meet really B.C.
How do you do, Miss Vague? You're the president of the Milpitas, Bob Hope, and Social Security Club, aren't you?
Oh, yes.
The new Gonzaga writer.
Oh, I have an ellipticated esophagus.
Oh, I didn't know. Would it help if I got you a cushion?
she must think we're a couple of the older legionnaires,
I should be. You know, today I saw a couple of the older boys sitting on a park bench near the Civic Auditorium. They must have been veterans of the French-Indian War.
Millis.
What is it, Lester?
This park bench is certainly getting the place to be. Look at all those snappy-looking chicks going by.
Yes. Toss out some more birdseed, Lester.
What a convention. You know, we got to slow down, Lillis. You know what happened to us yesterday.
Yes, almost got bowled over by a hit-and-run turtle.
Yeah, I sure had a shell fall. Say, you must remember back to the convention when we took out Queenie from that burlesque show.
Oh, you better do. Drank hard cider out of her high-button shoe.
Yep, had to finger the buttonholes like a flute.
I may be
old, but I can hold my own.
Well, this is no time to be holding them. Put them back in your mouth and let go.
Well, let's hobble over to the burlesque house and see her again.
Good idea, yeah. Let's go. Listen to that, Lester. Them cable cars is getting squeaker every day.
That ain't no cable car. That's me. Well, here we are at the stage door. Let's go in.
Hey, wait a minute. Not so fast. I'm the stage door guard. What do you guys want?
What do we want? You know.
Yeah, you know.
Sorry, I'm all out of toothpicks.
Hey, listen, I want me a date with that Queenie. How about it?
Of course, you have a note from your parents.
We'd like to see Queenie, the gal with the lubricated sacroiliac.
Aren't you a little old for this sort of thing?
We're here, ain't we?
Okay. Oh, Queenie.
Yes, Mr. Doorman.
There's a couple of...
I'll be right down.
Never needs a description.
Well, hello.
Oh, hello.
Are they excavating around here?
Miss LaSmooch, I want a date with you tonight.
No, I want a date.
I want it.
Now, boys, don't fight. You'll get adrenaline all over the floor.
Well, let's hold a contest to see who feels the youngest.
Okay, I'll show you how spry I am. You watch me do a leapfrog right over that mailbox.
You're going to do a leapfrog right over that mailbox?
Yep, right over it. Here goes.
Be careful. Watch the door.
Well, just send me to the dead letter office.
Bing, good luck on your new show, October the 16th. You know, folks, we've kidded a lot tonight about the veterans attending the American Legion Convention here in San Francisco, but actually, at least 95% of the activity of these conventions is dedicated to the very serious business of looking out for the veterans' welfare. The government also takes an active interest in the welfare of its veterans through an organization headed by a man whose qualifications certainly cannot be denied. A great general, a simple, friendly man, and the leader of the 12th Army Group in the European Theater of Operations. This man is with us tonight. He is Administrator of Veterans Affairs for the United States Government, General Omar Bradley.
Thank you, Bob. Must give you and Bing and your colleagues in show business great satisfaction to know how much the veterans and the men still in the armed forces realize and appreciate the large part entertainment plays in the vast organization known as USO. For the past 3 years, USO has provided men and the services with a home away from home. Today, USO is continuing to provide entertainment through its camp shows to the personnel of our armed forces. USO also supplies entertainment to patients in the 115 Veterans Administration hospitals and all military and naval hospitals. USO has a gigantic task. It is making an appeal for funds it must have to pay part of the American people's debt to our fighting men. USO is what the U.S. owes the GI. During the month of October, the USO must raise $19 million to continue its work. When the appeal is made to each of you, please remember... there are still thousands upon thousands of men in our occupation forces and in our hospitals who still rely on USO.
That's right, folks. And please remember, too, that this war isn't over until every hospitalized veteran is on his way home. Thank you, General Bradley. Good night, folks.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.